Jesus knew that we might interpret persecutions to mean that God had rejected us. He insists, it doesn't mean that at all. Whatever is bound up in the blessings of the kingdom of heaven is yours, even while you're suffering here on earth. It is by the grace of God that good results can come from bad experiences. So that's why Jesus instructed us to rejoice and be exceeding glad when persecution comes upon us because of our loyalty to Him. I refer to that eighth beatitude, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, in which Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So, we are seeking help for the harassed by a careful investigation of this statement of our Lord. And it is evident that Jesus promises a benefit to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But what benefit is there? He refers to two things. First, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, indicates a present blessing or benefit. Two, great is your reward in heaven, promises the future blessing and benefit. As we consider these two statements, we ask the Lord to encourage our hearts to faithfulness to Jesus Christ in spite of all circumstances. Notice first, Jesus says there is a present benefit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The statement literally means the kingdom of heaven belongs to them, or the realm of heaven is theirs. But what does that mean in practical terms? Well, Jesus recognized that one might interpret persecutions to mean God had rejected him. He insists, it does not mean that at all. Whatever is bound up in the blessings of the kingdom of heaven is his, even while he is suffering in this world. Now, the Christian knows his sufferings are unmerited, that he is suffering for Jesus' sake. He identifies with Jesus, who suffered in every point as we do. Now, we remember that if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Therefore, the whole of the kingdom blessing, grace, faith, forgiveness, sanctification, communion, joy, are experienced by the believer even as unregenerate men oppose him. He experiences the blessings of the kingdom now as well as in the time to come. So because he is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, he finds within himself all that is necessary for life and godliness, regardless of the outward circumstances. If you're living under the reign of God, if you are a citizen of the kingdom over which he rules, you already have the blessings of heaven while on earth, and your circumstances cannot take away what God is giving you. Rejoice in your present privilege. Now, your persecutions prove that you belong to Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Your opposition from ungodly people show you're not the same as they. It is for righteousness' sake, or to say it otherwise, for Jesus' sake, that you are persecuted by the unregenerate world. And that's a testimony to you and to your peers that you belong to Jesus. Do you feel sorry for yourself when you suffer for Jesus? Like the earliest Christians, rejoice that you're counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Keep on living for the Lord and speaking the truth about Him. The Holy Spirit often uses trials to make us more like God designed us to be. God has predestinated that we should be conformed to the image of His Son, and He works on us inwardly and outwardly to perform that worthy goal. Line by line, we are made more and more like Jesus. Praise His name. So let us have the spirit of Job, who said, "When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Could it be that the trials you now endure are designed of God to purify you? If so, you see the present benefit they bring. And your trials are a way to show the difference Christ makes, provided you bear them in such a way as to show that difference. Jesus said we're to shine as lights in the world when men seek our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Our trials give us excellent opportunity to bear that witness. Hugh Latimer and Thomas Ridley were being led to the stake to be burned to death because of their faith in Jesus. Latimer said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." And so they did. The fires which consume martyrs like them still shine in the religious liberties that we enjoy today. And your trials brings benefits today because they are times when you recognize that Jesus is near. The three Hebrews who refused to bow in worship before the image of the king were cast into a furnace roaring with flames. They were bound before they were cast in. There were three of them. But when the king looked in, he said, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And so he was. God comes to his people when they are in trouble. He sent his angel to close the mouths of the lions when Daniel was cast in the pit. He stood where Stephen could see him when that man of God was being stoned to death and encouraged his martyr with his presence. Now when troubles come to you, do not look at your situation as much as you look for the Lord to show himself strong and present in that situation. But then secondly, Jesus says there is a remote benefit. Great is your reward in heaven. Now, while we do not serve the Lord just to get rewards, it's encouraging to know that he will honor faithful service by giving rewards. Some of the last words Jesus spoke, which are recorded in the Bible, mention the reward he has for his saints, saying, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be." But is it of much help now to know that rewards are ahead? Oh, absolutely. A woman will undergo 9 months of discomfort and the travail of birth because she looks to the privilege of being a mother and rearing a child. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The reward ahead is a great incentive to endure the difficulties of the present. The Apostle Paul wrote of his sufferings for Christ. He had received more stripes and beatings than he could count, was often in prison, often in danger of death, beaten by the Jews with 39 blows on 5 different occasions, was stoned until his persecutors thought he was dead, was beaten by the Romans with rods 3 times, endured shipwrecked and uncounted perils. I would say he suffered a great deal for Jesus, wouldn't you? But when he compared it with the rewards awaiting, here's how he estimated it. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal." Take heart, therefore, when you suffer for Jesus. Know that your trials bear witness on earth and build up reward in heaven. Look at the joy set before you, and count your trials as nothing new in the benefits provided by the Lord. Father, we do not want to suffer, not even when we suffer for Jesus' sake. But we realize the world in which we live is set against you and the things of God. Therefore, we take our place to endure faithfully whatever comes, that we may represent you properly and bear witness to salvation in Christ to a lost world. In Jesus' name, amen.